Nehemiah chapter 4. We're beginning verse 1 and just down through verse 6 to get the message going, and then we'll get through more of the chapter as I preach here this evening. But the Bible says in verse 1, "But it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity." Now, I just want to throw this in as a side note. Now, everybody says we need to pray for our leaders in our country. We need to pray for those things. This is sort of my prayer for our leaders in our country. Just a little side note there. But he says in verse 5, "And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And that's what I'm going to speak to you about this evening. Having a mind to work. Having a mind to work. Dear Heavenly Father, God, once again, Lord, we thank you and praise you, God, for what you did this morning. We rejoice and we shout and we're excited about the souls, God, that made a decision this morning to call upon you for salvation. God, we thank you for it. We don't ever want to take that for granted. God, but we don't want it to end there, God. We want you to meet with us here again this evening, Lord. And I pray and I plead with you, God, that you would show up this evening and be in the midst of us and speak here tonight to your dear people. But God, that you would clear out my heart, my mind, God, anything that would be of me. Lord, I pray that you would just clear out those thoughts and anything that would be of me. And God, fill me up as a vessel that would be full of your Spirit, God. These people came to hear from you, and God, I pray that's exactly what they would hear of. And Lord, as always, if there be somebody in the midst here tonight gathered amongst us that is not truly born again, God, I pray tonight be the night they call upon you and get that settled in Jesus' name. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, we understand and we see as the Jews had begun to rebuild the wall there in Jerusalem, and we have to understand that there was an importance to rebuilding this wall. This wall would separate them from the world and from the danger, and it would give them protection, and it was a way for them to get back to being able to worship God and to separate themselves from the others and to have that place where they could be and be separated from those others. The wall was a place of safety for sure, and it gave them that separation. It allowed them to serve God uncompromised, and it gave them that place to do that. And the work that we do for the Lord is a place where I look at these things, and it's a place that it gives us a place of separation. It gives us a place of safety. And you say, "Brother Rex, how does it do that?" But if you think about the safety, two of my three children are here this evening, and I had the great privilege, Brother Hall, to lead both of them to Christ. And that separation and that determination to go forward for the Lord allowed me to raise my children and for the Lord. It allowed me that opportunity to give them, you know, whatever happens to my children one day, at least these two will be in heaven with the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. The only thing greater than my own salvation was me being able to lead my children to Christ. That was a wonderful thing. And if you're not a soul winner in here tonight, I challenge you, get involved in it. There is There's nothing like seeing a lost, condemned soul on its way to hell pray and ask Christ to save them. There's nothing that I would rather do. It's a great thing. But the Christian life that we live, I mean, if you think about when we separate ourselves and we live for the Lord and we try to do the things that are right, we become faithful. As long as we stay faithful to the things of God, we understand that He's going to take care of us. One way, shape, or form, He has a plan for our lives. But in this portion of Scripture, as they're there, and it, just as any other ministry or any involvement you get in the Christian life, there's going to come opposition. There is. There's going to come those trials, those tribulations. Listen, after I got saved, things were just, it seemed like for about 3 months, Brother Morris, everything, I was on cloud nine, and everything was just great, and everything was going smoothly. But then all of a sudden, you know, people that I would have thought were excited about me getting saved begin to give me some opposition about it. They begin to try to create doubt. They begin to try to do a lot of things. And in our Christian lives, many times, if we're not careful, other Christians will hinder other Christians. And you say, what do you mean about that? Because somebody gets on fire for the Lord, and then all of a sudden this one, because maybe they're not on fire for the Lord, they didn't expect them to grow so quickly, they try to pour water on it. And that will happen in the Christian life. Young ladies in here today, if you're not careful, you're getting a pecking order one amongst one another, and you start to hinder what God wants to do in your lives. Young men, same thing. If you're not careful, you're allowed pride to well up in your life, and you're allowed it to cause you to not be so useful for God in so many ways. But I just want to bring you four things tonight. We'll go to the house. I don't plan on keeping you long. I don't plan on doing that. I'm normally not a long preacher. But I just want to give you a few things. These were things that helped me, Brother Hall, as I was growing up as a Christian. When I read this portion of Scripture, and God just started to show me some things. And you know what? Tonight, I'm not here to give you anything new. I'm just here to try to encourage you to keep going for the Lord. Keep going. Have a mind to work for God. Have a mind to work for God. Number one, don't let your skill level keep you from getting involved in the work. Don't let your skill level, young people in this room tonight, get involved wherever you can. Wherever your pastor, your youth pastor will let you get involved, get involved. You're not too young. Listen, if we get into the Bible, I think so many times us as parents, we hinder our kids from being used from God. But if we read in the Bible, David was what when God called him? How about Samuel? They can be used of God. My son goes soul winning with me. I never got to go soul winning, Brother Young, with my dad. I never got to do it. My dad was a phenomenal soul winner. Just last summer, Jason and I were out knocking doors, and I had my dad's soul winning Bible, got to lead a young lady to the Lord with my dad's soul winning Bible. I mean, you open that thing up, the pages are just full of names. He led, I think it was 113 people to Christ in 38-month battle with cancer. He just never gave up. Had a mind to work. And that's a wonderful thing. But we as Christians, as especially young people in here, you know, that if you're saved and you're in here, the devil can't have your soul, but he don't want God to have your life. Get involved in the work. Number one, don't let your skill level keep you from getting involved in the work. I have this quoted here, opposition, ridicule. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. It says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Here's what's going to happen, people. As we get involved in the work of God, there's going to be people that mock how we do it. There's going to be. There's going to be people that mock. They're going to ridicule. Maybe you're not as... Listen, when God gave me a call to preach, Brother Morris, I'm like, I used to skip class when I had to give a demonstration speech at school, and you're calling me to preach, Lord? I mean, really? You do have a sense of humor. I mean, talk about taking the most unqualified person. But he takes the most willing, not the most qualified. He qualifies the most willing is what he does. And if you're in here tonight, if you're willing, God will use you. He will put you in the work. Nathan, in 2007, it was on a Sunday morning in our church, and the service ended, Sunday morning service. I came right down to the altar, and I mean, I'm talking to me, I was a wasted life for God. But I had been saved just for a couple years, and I was growing in the Lord, and I was excited, I was zealous. I came down an altar, and I said, Lord, I'm right here. I don't know what you can do with my life, but it's yours to use. I walked back to my pew. I sat down, or I stood there. We finished the service, and a lady about where you are, Mrs. Ross, turned around. I was about where my son is, and she said, Rex, she goes, we're leaving in a couple weeks to go on vacation. Would you teach my Sunday school class? I didn't think it was going to happen like that. I'm like, Lord, I said you could have my life, but this quick? But you know what? I was so nervous because I had no idea how to prepare anything. And my dad told me, he said, Rex, he said, listen, those kids are probably more nervous than you are. He said, that was encouraging. But you know what? My brother-in-law helped me out, and he just gave me some help tools, just told me some things of God. And, you know, my pastor asked me about a month ago. He came to me. I asked him. I said, "What? I want to get more involved in church. What can I do?" And he said, let's pray about it. So he comes to me. He says, I want you to teach a prophet's class. And I said, you've heard me preach, preacher. You want me to teach these young men how to preach? And he's like, that's what God has laid on my heart for you to do. I said, all right. So I'm teaching a Timothy class. I took a homiletics class, but I probably failed it like I did a lot of my courses in school. But here's the thing. The biggest thing to all of it is what I can't do, other men have been able to do. So I reached out to people and I got notes and I got books and I got things and I prayed about it and seek God and researched some things and talked to some people doing it. And it has nothing to do with me. It just has to do with being willing. But here's the thing, folks. Don't let your skill level, don't wait till you feel like you are polished and ready to go to get into it. Listen, you get into it, people are going to ridicule you. There's no doubt. They're going to say, I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe that. Or I can't believe she's doing that. But just get involved in the work. The day is drawing nigh when we can't work any longer. And the day's coming when souls aren't going to be able to. We're not going to knock doors. We're not going to do those things anymore. We're going to rise to meet with the Lord in the air. And that's going to be a wonderful day for us. But you know what? While we're here, we ought to be busy serving the Lord. Just as we just sang, do you want to go to the Lord empty-handed? Let's lay up those treasures today. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 3, look there. It says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Brother Gordon, I don't know about you, but if I was a building something and somebody said if a fox went up on it, it's just going to knock it down. That sounds like somebody saying I'm not a very good builder. Right. But you know what? They ridiculed them. They ridiculed them. They ridiculed them. And they were trying to stop the work of God from continuing. And it will happen in our Christian life. People will say that Brother Moore shouldn't be doing that because he's not qualified to do that. Well, if your pastor thought you were qualified to do it, and obviously your pastor walks with God, then you just get in the work. You get involved and you just do that. Remember in Matthew chapter 27, verse 29 through 30, they mocked our Savior. They mocked Jesus. So don't focus in on yourself. When people want to mock you and ridicule you, don't focus in on yourself and have a pity party. Because that's exactly what the devil wants to do, is he wants you to get off course. He wants you to focus in on the mocking and the ridicule to get you off course from continuing the work for God. Don't let it hinder what you're doing. But here was the answer that Nehemiah gave for their ridicule. He says in verse 4, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn the reproach against their own head, and give them for a prey into the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let their sin be blotted out. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger." The answer to this ridicule and the mocking was to take it to the Lord in prayer and just continue doing what they were doing. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap correction, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Listen, we have a short time to be here. Let's just get busy and stay focused and quit worrying about whatever. Listen, the one thing I learned a long time ago, Brother Gordon, if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you got to die to public opinion. Because it's there and everybody has one. Most of them stink. So the bottom line to the whole thing is let's just focus in. If we know we're doing what we should be doing for the Lord, let's just get busy and keep doing the work. It's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. It's time to stay in the battle. Secondly, we need to be faithful in the work. This is probably one of the biggest things that we struggle with anymore. There's so many things that hinder us from staying faithful in the work. But I also have this noted as opposition to cause the work to cease. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 8, "And conspired all them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." And if you do anything for the work of the Lord, the devil is going to come and try to get you off course. He's going to try to do whatever he can to keep you from being faithful. Here's the thing. I believe one day when we all stand in front of the Lord, our faithfulness to the work will determine a lot of things in our life. I think of my father-in-law. My father-in-law has been running a church in the middle of dairy farm fields, in the middle of nowhere, in a spot that most people don't even and never heard of in Pennsylvania for 40 years this January. Do you know what he is, Brother Hall? He's faithful. When he runs 65, do you know what he does, Brother Morris? He knocks doors. When he's running 150, you know what he does, Brother Nathan? Knocks doors. When he's had church splits and he's been ridiculed and people try, you know what he does? Knocks doors, preaches the gospel. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Last year, about a year ago, we made the decision. We moved out here, and we knew this is exactly where God wanted us to be, and we moved out here. And Brother Gordon, I moved from where I was. I had a general contracting business for 20 years. I never had to look for work. I never had to do anything. I had a waiting list, and people would call me and say, "Rex, we'll wait for 12 months if that's what it takes. We just want you to put us on a schedule." God was so good to me. I was honest. I did what was right, and God blessed that. So I moved here. I moved here. I didn't have a clientele base. I didn't have a job lined up. Nothing. I didn't have a preaching engagement at that point in time, Brother Young. I moved here. God opened up doors for both. But I started looking at my bank account. And I'm just being transparent with y'all tonight. I'm still flesh, brother. There's nothing special about me. And I started to worry. My dad, I started to fret. I started going, "I have no idea how this is going to work." None. God had shown me he's going to take care of us for years. But I'm being transparent with you tonight. And a man from our church there in Bible Baptist Church, Randy McKee, he was helping me do a job on an apartment. And I just begin to tell him, I don't know. Maybe I didn't make the right decision. Randy said, "Rex, you just need to stop." He goes, "You need to be faithful. That's it." He goes, "God doesn't have your preaching schedule full. God doesn't have your work schedule full. But what God has placed you and what He's placed you to do, just be faithful. Amen. Continue to do what's right. Continue to go through the open doors to preach. Continue to go to work every day and be honest and do what's good, and God will take care of you. Right. Simple advice. Yeah. Guess what? He was right. Yes, sir. All you got to do is just continue to plug away. Do what's right. Don't quit. Don't quit. Have the mind to do what's right even when we don't see it. When opposition comes, when people want to hinder your work, when people or things or the devil throws things in your way, just continue to do what's faithful. I don't know if I ever used this testimony before, but right after my wife and I got married, we were getting ready to go to church on a Sunday night. Brother Nathan had the worst year of business I ever had in my life the year I got married. And my wife said to me, so after we got married, I used to just take cash, brother. I was telling you about this before. I used to have all kinds of cash. Then I got married and it's just not there anymore. But my wife said to me, she goes, why do you take cash every service? I said, well, I don't like the plate to go by and I don't put anything in it. So I break my tithe up and I put it in, you know, each service. She goes, why don't you just write a check for the whole tithe at the beginning of the week? I said, okay. So I said, this is where I believe God has me to give and what to give. So we're getting ready to leave for church. We did junior church, and so we would always put our tithe in Sunday night. So on Sunday night, we were getting ready to leave for church. It was just my wife and I, and she goes, hey, babe. I said, yeah. She goes, what do you want me to do about tithe tonight? And I said, why are you asking? She goes, have you looked at the checkbook? I said, mm-mm. She goes, if I write the tithe check, we're going to have $7 left in our checking account. I said, okay, write it. Faithful. I'm no great man of faith. I was just trying to be obedient. Just trying to be obedient. Brother Nathan, that week, within 7 days, I had 2 phone calls to build new houses. I went from the worst year of business I ever had to the best year to date that I ever had. And you say, how did that happen? Faithful. Faithful. That's what it's about. It's about being faithful. When we can't see the outcome, we just need to continue to push forward to do that work. And I said all those things not to boast anything about myself, but how great our God is and how wonderful He is. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 11, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them, cause the work to cease. They wanted nothing more but to hinder the work. And the answer was Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Do you notice each time they went to the Lord in prayer? But then look what happened. That prayer was them giving it to God and just saying, we're just going to do what we have to do to keep pushing. And He said, and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. You know what they did? They set a watch. They did what they had to continue to push forward. Look, just think about what pastors had to do during COVID-19, during the pandemic. The things that pastors had to do to keep church going. It's amazing, you know, the things that we've had to go. But I commend what pastors did just to keep that work good, going good. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is. There, to me, Brother Young, there's nothing better. There's no greater privilege that we have than God entrusting us with the saving grace gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a privilege to tell people about Jesus Christ. That is the main thing that as independent fundamental Baptists are all about. The reason the buses go out is to reach the community. The reason that you have programs, the reason that you have Sunday school, the reason it's to reach people for Jesus Christ. And one day, when we look on His face, it will be all worth it all to just continue to plow and to plant and to water and to do it. You know, we're really good at knocking doors, and we're pretty good at getting them in the water, but we're really bad at discipling them. And the reason why we struggle with discipleship is because discipleship percentages that we feel we fail at is hard. I mean, one of the hardest ministries you ever watch is an RU ministry. An RU ministry, it's a revolving door. They're there 1 week, they're there a month, they're there 2 weeks, and then they're gone. They're right back. And discipleship, here's the hardest thing about discipleship, is you invest your time, your energy, and many times your finances into somebody, and the next thing you know, they're gone. And it can be very, very discouraging, but just keep in mind what we're doing it for. What we're doing it for. And that's my last point, is number three, remember our work is for the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bears and burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. Now, this is the people. They're coming to Nehemiah, and they're talking to him, and they're discouraged, and they say, there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see nor see till we come in the midst amongst them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. What discouraging times. And if we're not careful, that was my point. The last point is opposition, discouragement. Discouragement is one of the greatest things that hinders the work of God. It's one of the greatest things that the devil tries to use to get us off course, to get us going the wrong direction, to get us from serving God. And there's been many times, if you're in any kind of ministry and you're involved in anything in this church, there are going to be discouraging times. There's going to be discouraging times. The bus ministry. How many of you, would you raise your hand, you're involved in a bus ministry? You ever been discouraged with the bus ministry? You ever go out there and you spend 6 hours on a Saturday, and man, you're excited. All these people made you promises to get on the bus. And then you go on Sunday, and a fraction of them show up. Would you be honest? It's discouraging. When that happens, and you're supposed to have 20, and you got 3, rejoice over the 3. Yes, sir. Rejoice over the 3. Because those 3 have the opportunity to be affected for Christ, to be influenced for God, for the work of God. It's not about the amount. It's about the opportunity. It's about the privilege that God entrusts us with His Word to give it to people to see their lives change for eternity. That's what it's all about. It's about God. It's about doing His work, what He left us here to do. Those discouragement times are going to come. They are. I'll be honest with you, brother. When my dad had pancreatic cancer, when my dad got pancreatic cancer, and I was like, really, Lord? I mean, this guy comes back every time we go soul winning with 2 or 3 people he led to Christ. God just used him that way. He was like an international harvester. I mean, I'm human. I asked. Yes, sir. Why? Discouraging times will come. discouraging times will come. There will be opposition. I'm sure if you've been in this church any length of time, there's been trials, there's been troubles, there's been opposition, there's been discouraging times. My father-in-law is a pastor. I pray for my pastor on a daily basis. There's times during the day I just, God lays them on my heart, I pray for him. We need to understand as the members of that church that the devil hates your pastor. He hates them. They need our prayers. They need our encouragement. Yeah, I'm your pastor would probably never admit that. He's a very humble man, but he needs it. They all need it. I try to text my pastor on a weekly basis and say, I love you, preacher. I'm praying for you. He needs it. They go through things. They carry burdens. They get phone calls in the middle of the night. They pray for you. They love you. But they go through trials. They go through tribulations. They go through things that most church members never know what they battle. Yeah, Brother Morris, you know one of the worst times for me after I go somewhere and preach is my drive home. Drive home. The devil just discourages you the whole way home. Whole way home. I just try to turn on some Christian music and shout the whole way home. I try to do what I can. There's times I've had to pull over. Just tell him to get out. He ain't riding with me. Discouraging times will come. Brother Nathan, I started the boys' camp by the grace of God in 2017. And you would not believe the ridicule that has come about it. We don't need another camp. We don't need this. We don't need that. Okay, you're entitled to believe that. Go ask the 20-something men been saved there. How about 20-something men have been called to preach? Ridicule away. Try to cause the work to cease. Go ahead. That's fine. I'm just going to keep plowing. Keep playing. Let God do what he wants. He needs faithful men. He needs faithful women. He needs some faithful young people. Listen to me, young people. As you go, there you're going to face these things. You 100% are going to face ridicule. You're going to face opposition, and you're going to face discouragement. Can I give you some advice? Don't ever set your eyes on a person. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Mom and dad are going to fail you. They're going to. They're human. They're not perfect. But don't allow the devil to get in your mind and get you off course. Brother Gordon, God may never give me some great big ministry, and I'm good with that. I'm fine if I just fill a pulpit here and there and teach Sunday school and work with some young men. I'm good with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. Maybe God's just allowing me to be where I am and do what I am to influence one young man that could be the next Jerry Ross, could be the next Kevin Swerger, or Doug Castle. But if we quit the work, whose life will not be affected because we stopped? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Just a very simple bottom shelf message. I'm not even going to ask for a raise of hands. I'm not going to do any of that. I will ask this. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Rex, I am not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not 100% sure, but Brother Rex, I'd like to know that. If Jesus Christ would save me here tonight, I'd let him save me. Is there anybody in this room say, Brother Rex, I am not sure. I am not 100% sure that heaven is my home. Would you just raise your hand? If you're not 100% sure that you'd go to heaven, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Is there anybody like that tonight? You would raise your hand. Just slip it up. I just want to pray for you here in a minute. All right. Christian, let me ask you something. Have you been discouraged lately? Has the devil been trying to get you to cease from doing his work? If he's not right now, he's going to. And you know what? This community needs you. This community needs this church. It needs the families in this church. Good godly families make up good godly churches. And I believe you have one here. But don't let the devil keep you from doing what God has for you.